Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. For more this morning on what might be ahead after the Derek Chauvin conviction in George Floyd's murder, we're joined now by former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick. Governor Patrick, as always, thanks for joining us on Morning Edition.
Good morning, Bob.
You know, as that last comment we just heard points out, we have heard a lot of personal reflection this morning in the wake of the verdict. What was its significance for you personally?
Well, I was listening to the end of the clip just now, and I heard her say relief, and I think that's what I was feeling. I was alone here in Western Massachusetts, and I just welled up. I had this kind of looming anxiety about what the outcome would be, not because I didn't realize what I had seen and everyone had seen on that videotape. So it's not that the verdict was surprising. It's that I know what I saw on the Eric Garner videotape, and yet those officers were exonerated. I know what I saw on other videotapes and what I've read about other incidents and what I've heard from witnesses and what I've seen. And I know how often juries and prosecutors and others have found a way to excuse police excesses. So it felt so relieving and so affirming to have this outcome. And I say that mindful that nobody celebrates any of this, or should. It just felt like it was a tiny but a really, really important step in the right direction of actually valuing human life, even if that life is black.
Shortly after George Floyd's killing, in May of 2020, you said, "We black people are constantly having to swallow and tamp down our frustrations, our suspicions about differences in treatment." And you called it the curse of being black. I wonder if you're feeling a little differently today as a black man after this white ex-police officer was convicted of killing a black man.
I wouldn't say that we have reached the promised land on account of one outcome in one trial. This one was enormously important, and it's gotten so much attention over the last year or so that it will have, I think, and should have, an important ripple effect and point us in a direction about around how we re-examine the expectations we have, all of us have, about police behavior and police conduct and accountability. So I'm not all the way there, but I do feel better. And I, you know, as I said, I didn't follow every minute of the trial, but I tried to keep up with it. I think the prosecution did a fantastic job. I have seen other fantastic jobs done, and if I may say, I have put in really good cases myself in the past, and the outcome defies the evidence in the past. So I was holding this sense that no matter how well the evidence was coming in, that the jury might just, as they say in the law, nullify the evidence and come down with a different verdict. They didn't, and that's incredibly important. And Bob, if I can say, I'm not wishing that in every case the only the side of the story of the victim and the victim's family get credence. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that in the past, the victim and the victim's family's side of the story gets little, if any, credence because we find a way to excuse the police, and I just want a fair shot at, and that's the wrong term, but a fair chance for folks to be heard, and for real accountability to exist on a regular basis. And I want that then to influence how we reexamine policing in this country.
Well, then, do you worry this will be just a temporary inflection point or will lead to lasting change when it comes to the fight for racial justice and police reform around America?
I think lasting change is up to us. I don't think any of this belongs on autopilot. I think this is a very important positive milestone pointing toward the need for and the importance of change, but we still have important legislation stuck in the United States Senate in Washington. We have reforms that have been proposed in state legislatures, in city councils, in police departments that have not moved to final resolution and haven't turned themselves into new rules. And we still have, in many quarters, and it's back to your earlier question, a culture where we presume the worst of each other, you know, the worst cartoon version of each other, and we don't wait a beat to ask ourselves, what is this individual about? And that's true in the criminal justice system. It's true in employment and housing and frankly, in a lot of our personal interactions with each other as neighbors and fellow citizens. And that's what I mean when I say whether lasting change comes is up to all of us. And we all have to take some responsibility for that.
All right. It's one thing to have proposals, political proposals on the local plate, on the state plate, and on the national plate. But how do you harness this energy that exists right now, this movement, out of the tragedy of George Floyd's death?
Well, I think that a lot of the honor and credit goes to the folks who've been organizing in the neighborhoods and at the grassroots. And they've been doing it across all kinds of differences, economic and racial and social. And I think that is enormously important that it has happened. And it's also enormously important that it's been sustained. And Bob, you and I have talked about this before. We have a famously short attention span in this country. And we kind of leap from one outrage to the next. The fact that folks have stayed focused on the importance of reforming police culture and the importance of racial justice generally is, to me, very, very hopeful. So I think we have to stick to that. And I think that means a whole bunch of uncomfortable conversations. I think it means a lot of hearing things we may not want to hear. And I think that that means all of us have to be willing to hear each other. And to take that in, provided that we're able to come to the table respectfully and with the idea of actually coming to practical and better solutions on the other end.
All right. Former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, always great to talk to you. Thanks for the conversation this morning, Governor.
Hey, Bob, thanks a lot for having me on. You be well.